Well,
no one's going to say anything.
Oh, I was holding off because I thought Ben was going to interrupt me and be a douche. And then all I could see was you, I've got a cold, laughing in the background. And I was like, I'm not going to fall for their wicked tricks today. But I fell for it anyway. Hi, welcome to Shut Up and Ride Podcast. We're back.
Yay.
Back together. I think we've all got a little bit of like, what is it when you really miss someone? Like something, I don't know, it's not Stockholm Syndrome or something.
That's the opposite of Stockholm Syndrome, I think.
I know, it's that we all need to be together. We're codependent now.
Yeah.
We got the post-tour blues. That's what it is.
That's a better way of putting it. I'll shut up. Do you want to, Simon, I'm really tired. I'm doing a U today.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody. Sponsored by Charles Owen, who are absolutely incredible.
I don't feel like they sponsor us. They basically hold us up. They are the podcast.
They absolutely do. And we are all suffering from the post-tour blues.
We are.
We had the most unbelievably, I don't know about you guys, but I had the most unbelievably fantastic time. It was wonderful. I absolutely loved every bit of it.
Okay, shall we explain context for anyone who might have been sat or new to the podcast, might have been sat under a rock? Sorry, I am so full of cold. This is what it must be like to be you all the time, Simon. So tired.
I can't. If this is someone's first time listening to the podcast, they must be thinking, why do they even have this? They've got nothing to say. They're just sort of sat there asleep.
They're talking crab.
With a cold.
I'm going to slag off a corgi and they'll be like, why are they slagging off corgis? Don't buy a corgi. They bite heels. We get so many corgi videos. I need to post one of them. What, someone with a corgi going, aren't corgis nice as it's ripping a path to kids' toy?
Save a child, kill a corgi. Yeah.
Yeah. Save a child. That's the next Laurie cushion. So we in our wisdom decided to take the podcast on a little tour. I called it a tour. I think a tour was slightly over ambitious. It was two nights, but tour sounded better.
It was still a tour.
It was still a tour. We went to more than one venue.
And you said we had the idea. I think it was your idea. You were the brains behind it.
Ah, thanks, Simon.
I'd say we were the brawn.
lads.
Yes, like
you
that.
Are buff ben, waiting maybe. To happen. You are both quite brawny in your own ways. Is brawny a word?
I am not.
Well, I'm trying to be nice, Simon.
I am definitely not.
And yes, we started off at the Unicorn, a slightly smaller, more intimate venue. And then we went up to Bishop Burton and it kicked off. The logistics were ridiculous. We got put up in a gorgeous hotel in the Ligon Arms.
Which we spent all of 0.3 seconds in.
Oh my God, but weren't they the best 0.3 seconds of your life? Yeah. I love it as well. And we took Hannah, silly prune, onto the ride. And I was like, can you guys post? Because we need to just post about the hotel. And she sets up the camera, does a dive onto the bed. Like, she's so good. So good.
I think, Ben, that's a dig.
I think if Jenny could turn back time, I think if she had a time machine, her and Hannah would probably have a podcast. not with us.
That is such a good idea. Yeah. If it was me and Hannah, it would just have to be called Fuck Off and Ride, not Shut Up and Ride. We'd have to have like the late night version.
Yeah, there's a late night version. We can do a late night version of Shut Up and Ride. Oh my Lord.
Oh my God. So, we went on tour. It was so good, but both nights were very different. Like, I know some people were sad from the Unicorn that they didn't get to see you riding Jägerbomb, Simon, because Simon rode Becky Moody's horse Jägerbomb the second night, and we'll talk about it all. But then some people were sad that from Bishop Burton they didn't get to see Buster. So it was like both nights were so different, but I think the fundamentals of it were just utter joy and friendship. Like, I watched the reels probably about 100 times, and the bit where we all just have this group hug and like everyone's so smiley and happy, especially Simon, we'll have to talk about this in a minute, Simon looking like he's actually died and gone to heaven. Like, I don't think any human has ever been that happy. But from an overall, like, just to be a bit gushing, don't you feel like it was just such a lovely, like the atmosphere, and it was lovely, and it was just all like everything I ever wanted it to be around horses.
Yeah, the vibe was great. It really was great. And everybody that came was so encouraging and seemed to be enjoying themselves. And just, it was just great. Like a really great bunch of people. And then I didn't think we'd be able to do the same thing at Bishop Burton because there were so many people there. But actually, they were incredible. And it was, there were lots of people, but it was still quite intimate in a random kind of way.
I think one thing that I found really strange is that, say, if you compare both dates on this tour and the Pub Pod to, say, when we did Your Horse Live, at Your Horse Live, we're getting random people that probably haven't heard of Shut Up and Ride, and we have to try and convince them to stay and watch and hope that they're into our strange brand of weirdness.
And I got complaints swearing.
Yeah. Well, I nearly got sacked from Your Horse Live once for saying things I shouldn't on stage. We can go into that another time. But the bit that I loved and I felt it at both venues is that every single person there was there because they loved the podcast. So yeah, the demos were great. It was great for us to get horses out and have a laugh. But at the end of each night when we did the pod / Q&A, where normally you'd start to worry and need to get words out more quickly, you just looked up at the audience and realized, oh, they're, every single person here is here because they love.
Is interested. Yeah.
And it was late. The Unicorn, it was like 10 o'clock and we were still going and people didn't leave. And I did feel really bad because we had about 5 or 6 people for the Unicorn night. I don't know why the Unicorn. And one girl, and they all had tyre blowouts. The bloody roads in England. That's going to be what's annoyed me. And I felt so bad for those people. But there was one girl who is literally, I think she's from Monmouthshire or somewhere. And she messaged saying, she was one of our first listeners. I can look back at messages. She was like the first person. She's bought the ticket on the first day it got released. She's been such a fan of the pod. And she was Instagramming her journey to the podcast. And she got a tire blown out and ended up spending most of the night on the side of the road. So I was like, oh my God, come to Bishop Burton, have a free ticket. You can come. And she couldn't make it. So that human, I have offered a free ticket to any next tour that we do because I was just felt so sad for her that she couldn't come. But yeah.
The other thing I really liked about it was that I really liked how it was so even, as in there were when we were being asked questions at the end and basically throughout, I always thought they'd be like, oh, you know, everyone's here to see Ben doing his, Liberty stuff. And but it wasn't. It was literally everybody was interested in asking you questions, Jenny. They were interested in speaking to me, interested in speaking to Ben and Cindy Prune as well. I just loved how it was so there was so much interest from all directions. Well, that was really cool.
Some of the things that Hannah came out with, though. I love that girl. I love her. She is brilliant. But I found this lovely horse called Milo for her to ride. And the owners turned up and they were so lovely. Lovely lady called Jenny. Thank you very much. She brought Milo in. And Milo's 19 and sent me photos. And I was like, this horse is going to be perfect for Hannah. But apparently Hannah took me to one side. She was like, Jenny, the owner of Milo's just said to me that when I get on, I need to get on really carefully because he's a bit cold-backed and he'll be fine. As long as he walks a few steps before I put my bum in the saddle, he'll be fine. And I was like, okay, yeah, okay, okay. And I was like, so what did you say? Did you say that was okay? And she was like, yeah, I just nodded and I said, yeah, that's fine. And I was like, Hannah, do you know what cold-back means? And she was like, no idea. I was like, okay, good.
It's like when I was teaching her, because I taught her a bit for her jumping bit after I jumped Buster. And I said, so are we on the right diagonal? And she's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I was like, oh, okay. You definitely don't know what you're doing, my darling.
But she can ride and she got it all done. And that's where I just think what I love is this is part of the reason this is called Shut Up and Ride, because it is yeah, she was learning and she did brilliant and she in no way upset the horse. The horse had a great time and it was just pure fun and learning and just shut up. Who cares? Who cares? We can teach her about diagonals. Who cares? Horsey people spend so much time with their heads rammed up their own arses. Oh, it's not on the bit. It's not this, not that. Oh, fuck
you're
you.
Not on the right diagonal.
Yeah.
But we can then also go and learn how to jump corners and skinnies about 5 minutes later.
Which she did. She jumped
well,
a corner.
She did very well. She did do very well. But also, what a lovely horse.
I know. And she released like a behind the scenes of one of her things she put on it just made me laugh. She was like, and I rode this horse and someone had installed steering and brakes. It was wonderful.
I know, she's a good egg, that one.
She is an absolute diamond. And I genuinely believe a lot of her popularity comes. She's a comedian. She's through and through a comedian. Like, that girl could do a stage tour. She's brilliant. But I think one of the things that resonates with her is that she isn't stuck up and, like, she is a proper, just lovely horse person who just loves horses and wants to have a laugh with them. And I just think she's everything the horse world needs. And Becky Moody is as well. But also, Ben, on the first night, one of my everlasting memories will be, obviously, your bit was coming up, so I do the bits where I'm introducing everybody. And I could see Romeo and Ollie coming in from the side. And I turned to Simon, and then I looked around, and Romeo just put his head over my shoulder. And I was like, did you train him to do that?
Yeah. Bless it. He's there. So I did bring the two horses I brought for Hannah to work were my equivalent of the old Aventine horse, bless them. Do you know, they know the job inside out and backwards. They are so sweet. My horses looked a little bit more ridiculous because I fully clipped them apart from the knees and hocks down. I left them in their moon boots so that they could go back in the field happily. But yeah, I thought she did amazing. And those, the boys are so sweet. Like, they absolutely loved, like, you and Simon.
Was Romeo that sweet? He knew she didn't have a clue. He was trying to bite the whip out of her hand.
Yeah, that's when she was like pressing several buttons at once and he was just saying, no.
Was that love? What do you mean?
Give me one command. That's all I ask for. Please.
I'm trying.
I found that so interesting though, because obviously like when Romeo came over to me, I was having cuddles and he was giving me kisses and it was all lovely and sweet and butter wouldn't melt. But then when Hannah was not even touching him, but giving him commands that you tried to teach her and she was getting it wrong, he got such a cob on, put his ears back, tried to grab the whip out of her hand and gave her like eyeballing her. But he just really highlighted to me, like, we're on the floor, barely even touching them, and they know exactly what they want and what commands. So imagine like when we're riding badly, what they're putting up with and how good they are not to just buck us off.
I think the liberty shows that to people a lot. So what was happening in the instance where Romeo was getting angry at Hannah and the whip was because even though everything she was doing with the whip was correct, she wasn't misusing it, she was really soft, really lovely, but her feet, she was moving in the wrong way. So she was stepping in the wrong directions and things because there's so much body language and footwork in liberty. And so it's, like you say, it's a great visual example of trying to use cues or signals that actually work against each other at the same time. And it can be hard to get that into people's heads when they're riding, can't it? Because they're thinking, people basically think they can use as much hand and leg simultaneously at the same time as they want. And that's one of the things I really enjoy about liberty is that even if people aren't really interested in doing it themselves, it can be a great visual representation of, you know, getting you to think about that in your riding. Think about being a bit more precise.
Because that is one of the things, obviously, I teach a lot more grassroots than you, Simon, and a lot more grassroots, like, because I'm complete beginners when I was teaching. And that is one of, like, the things that you have to drill in from the word go is, like, everything you're doing is sending a signal.
Yeah.
It's made me really realize how much on the floor everything you're doing. And it's the same when you're training a dog. Like, I follow this cool dog guy, Cherry's Dogs or whatever. And he sends videos of when like dogs suddenly turn on their owners. And there's this one video of a kid like screaming at this dog to sit, but at the same time, like pulling this chain and like sending about a million commands. And the dog just turns around and goes, "Aah!" and bites the kid. And then he goes, "What was wrong with this video?" Because I'm always trying to like learn about dog training as well. But I think that it's all like, I don't know, it really highlighted to me how much more clarity need in my on-ground work as well as in my riding and how important being balanced and fit and, sorry, I'm getting more snotty as I go. I'm waffling, but did you take anything from watching it or apart from complete, or me and Simon were at the side going, we really want to have a go.
We were quite jealous. I would have liked to have had a go. Maybe next time.
Yeah, definitely.
But it definitely, I just found it fascinating watching you doing your thing, and then, and actually also helping Hannah and making it. It was so evident how in tune you are with those horses, and also when I asked you about whether you're trying to be the leader or you, and you said that you're trying to be the basically the dominant female.
Yeah. Yes, queen.
And I found that really interesting.
Does this mean I'm the dominant female and you're my Romeo and Ollie?
Yeah.
Mate, that's how it's been the whole 100%. Way through. You've always been the dominant female.
I just set myself up there, didn't I? Oh,
yeah.
That is not news. You should come back and say, I am the only female, FYI.
Yeah, exactly. Also, what I would love, like, from both of you is what performers you are. Like, it's all very well doing these tours and people coming, and people will be able to watch it, and we'll talk about that at the end. Like, it's going to be available to watch. It's just going to keep it as cheap as possible for you guys, but we need to pay the people who filmed it first. But what, it's all very well, like, you sitting on Buster and doing your jumping, and Ben standing there, like, oh no, I can't say this joke. I did say a joke because obviously you have your whip collection on the floor. And I did make a joke about your whips and a certain person, but I'm not going to say it.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah,
can I say it? No.
Well, why not? Go on,
too
say
soon.
It. You can always edit it out.
No.
Who was that? Who are you talking about?
And Simon.
I don't understand, Jenny. I don't understand. I don't know what are you going on about?
Oh, and... like when Romeo was rolling and you were just like...
She's slightly lost for words.
I know, shut up. It was so
never
bad.
Happens.
And then you were just like, your comic timing, Ben, is brilliant. You were like, it was one of those things as well, because we've spoken about it on the pod. You're like, if a horse is doing something you haven't asked them to do, we know now you like go, and lie down! Yay, look at me! And it's just like, both of you are very good at, like, it's showmanship as well. And I think that's what keeps it. People aren't going to listen.
Oh,
if you,
I don't
if
know. I think Ben is the absolute pro at that. I wouldn't say that I am.
It is a light. It's like something, a switch goes off in you, Ben, when you go to, isn't it? It's like someone put a penny in him and he just, like, you go into like showman mode. It's very good.
I don't know. My mum says that she can tell if I've gone into show mode by the sound of how I walk.
Wow.
She That's says, cool. I can tell from the sound of your footsteps if you've clicked into that. I don't know. I don't know if I do or not. But George says that I spent our entire wedding day in that mode.
Oh, well, that doesn't surprise me at all.
There's a sequence of pictures that maybe I can post. But I'm in the church before George gets there and I just look like the most stressed person in the world. And then there's this picture of me with my eyes shut and my head down. And then I'm up and eyes open, then it's like, right, game face. I think, I don't know, you learn to just be like, put it aside, nothing else exists.
You are an absolute performer. I was thinking that when in one of the reels that you that Harry Sykes, who was our videographer, did, which was, all his reels were fantastic.
Handsome,
and there was
Harry.
One, the first one, at Unicorn, and you like, strike a pose, or you're doing something, and I'm like, oh, there he goes, and he's performing, like... Proper incessant. Performance. Yeah, it's really cool. Oh, it's really cool.
Thank you very much, guys. I don't know. Just loved it. My highlight was where we nearly killed Becky Moody. That was my...
Oh, that was
absolute...
night two.
Oh, that was my
fault.
That
hasn't been put in a reel. So if you want to see how we nearly killed Becky Moody, you're going to have to... I'm going to watch it this weekend and hopefully we'll release it. It's going to be on Vimeo.
I did tell her he might spook at this a little bit, but I didn't expect it to be quite that violent.
All right. Right. So you're going to have to watch it to find out why we nearly killed Becky Moody. But can I ask a question? This isn't me like trying to be a difficult ass. I was always taught when I did my BHS exams that you shouldn't jump that many poles on the floor like that in case they land on it.
I mean, I've never been taught that. And I kind of, yeah, no, I'd do that again, to be fair.
Yeah,
I'd rather have that than, because I know people like take the poles and put them to the side and stuff, and that really pisses me off. Like when people do that all the time in the arena at mine. Like, you'll build a course and then it's hired and people come and use it, and they move everything and they put the poles to the side and like in really stupid places, which is going to make the horses spook even more to the side. And then I kind of, it frustrates me because I'm always constantly trying to make the horse confident and go in a straight line. And when you've got things to the side and whatever, they're a lot more like just spook and not be straight. So, but yeah, you might well be right. Maybe it's not a BHS thing, but I'm a BHSI now, so.
You can just get away with it.
It's like, fuck off.
Also,
I just say on that, I actually had never seen anyone do that before, and so immediately came home because I've got these four youngsters that I'm teaching to jump at the moment, and immediately was like, right, we're going to put six poles next to each other on the floor and we're going to start with that. And my goodness, it made every single one of them jump so much better, because it's the equivalent of having the world's lowest but wide colourful filler as the base of the jump. And so it actually made them think about going up and over something. I just thought it was really, might not be correct. I don't know. I don't follow any of the rules really.
I'm sure it probably isn't correct, but they do always pop it.
Well, I just thought, because if you just had a pole, if you just had a pole on the floor, then so many horses will just come in and do that as a trot pole, won't they? They're not thinking out of as a jump. I thought it was genius. I've told all of my team about it. I was like, Simon's a genius. This is the coolest thing I've ever seen. It's going in there, in the brain. Yeah.
Legend.
I thought you were going to say it's going in the wank bank then, for some reason.
I did tell Simon I was going to wank over my memories of him riding, because it was so wonderful. I've never seen Simon really doing his thing in the flesh before.
We've only actually seen each other in the flesh three times.
Yeah.
Or four now.
And he was absolutely phenomenal. I was blown away.
You took Buster across the angle over that big upright. And Ben was literally like, I think he was going to get his cock out at any point. He was just like, oh my God.
An angle. It was like someone had cantered adjacent with their knee on a post and rail fence and then just said to the horse, nah, pop this. It was the most, it was incredible.
It's almost like he rides at five star, Ben.
Yeah.
But that horse is, he's pretty freaking cool. He made me laugh though, because he literally, I was being so casual, like, as in like, not casual, like I was riding cross country style. And he's so clever. Like, he just knows when it's knocked down the ball. Like, and you remember we'd like demolished the corner and then he demolished the skinny brush as well. I was like, mate, come on. So then I came around and I actually show jumped it rather than cross country rode it. And then he actually cleared them really well. I was like, note to self, I can make him clear them if I actually ride properly.
Well, I think Burley was testament to that, like that show jumping round.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, he knocked down a small fence early on, didn't he? And I was like, see, this is what I was meaning when I kept on saying to everybody before Burley's show jumping round, this horse is not the greatest show jumper because he knocks things down. And then he went and jumped a clear round and made me look really stupid. And like, look, see, he does knock jumps down. Yeah. I wasn't lying.
And then we came into the Bishop Burton one on the back of a truck dancing and spraying champagne. Well, Prosecco all over the audience, which, by the way, was another highlight. That was so fun. The crowd were nuts. Like, it was such a big crowd. And then Becky Moody.
I actually sprayed champagne, Prosecco all over photographer James and his camera.
Oh, did you? Oh, he didn't say that.
No, I apologised to him. And he was like, it's fine, it's fine. But I got really excited and was getting the crowd and then was like, ah, and I just saw it hit him in his camera. You'll see it when you watch the video back, because while I'm stood in the back of the pickup, I'm like, I'm so sorry.
But it was pretty cool. It was quite the entrance, I thought.
And then waiting in the wings, who came into Sex Bomb, was Becky, and the crowd went fucking nuts.
They went wild.
I don't think I've heard it. They went wild, and he honestly, that horse, what is it? I know he's big, so he does have presence like that.
Mate,
but that horse,
mate, he's enormous. I didn't realize how big he actually is. He's huge.
I didn't realize until I had to leg you up onto him. Oh my God. When I agreed to that, I was like, oh, there's quite a lot of people watching. This could go very wrong.
I was thinking the same, like having not ever ridden him before. And I was thinking, there's 400 people here watching me about to potentially do a really awful job and him not like me at all.
But you didn't. Go on, tell us what happened.
God, it was so cool. It was so cool. Absolutely loved it. He was absolutely enormous. And I was thinking, Christ alive. And Becky was only on him for like 2 minutes. And then she was like, do you want to ride it now? And I was like, oh, Christ, okay, yeah. And then Jenny did a very good leg up, actually. I was quite impressed.
Thank you.
And yeah, it was just really nice to, I tried to just block out the fact that there were lots of people there and just think, right, I'm just at home, I'm just going to ride this horse I've not ridden before and just have a feel and see how we go. And like almost straight away, I was like, oh no, this is pretty cool, man. This is pretty cool. I was just a bit not so great. I was about to say something really non-PC then. I was just not that great with the one-time changes or the two-time changes, but I've never done them before. So yeah. A bit more practice on those, but he was so beautifully trained and so on the button with everything, and like, and he was listening, but he was also showing off because the crowd was there, and he was like, he's just obviously been trained so beautifully by Becky, and it's such a testament to her that you could plonk on any old little event rider and he would go and do stuff. It was wonderful. And whenever he was, because when Jenny said, Simon's going to be riding Jägerbomb, oh God, and you'll be able to hear him squealing with delight at how amazing it is. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not going to be doing that because, you know, I'm far too cool for that. And I just kept on like falling out of my mouth. I was like, oh my God, that was amazing. That was so cool. Woohoo, this is so great. And it really was. It was really great. And the crowd were amazing as well. They were so supportive and really like egging me on and egging him on. And it was just a really cool, cool experience for me. And then Becky then jumped to this really lovely little three-star horse that we had with that Jenny had sourced, who was really cool. And Becky had her lesson, and then she obviously and then had her little tumble. And then I rode that horse as well. And what a lovely little horse. He was just fab, and I really enjoyed jumping him. And having talked right at the beginning, I talked about my friend who passed away that week, and we remembered her, and we all had a bit of a group hugging, which was really nice. So it was a bit sad, and then I went from that to being like hyper excited to then feeling slightly emotional about the fact that I'd just been this amazing horse, to then having an absolute ball jumping this other little fabulous horse, and then just realizing how incredibly lucky we are to have horses in our lives to make us feel like that. It was a real roller coaster of emotions for me. It was epic. Really, really cool.
It was amazing to watch. Obviously not the bit where Becky nearly got ended. Although she was fine. She was all right. She wasn't coming off. But it was... what was amazing was like Hannah again, who doesn't even know who Carl Hester is and had no idea who Becky was. I mean, she was just like, that horse, I think it's actually turned me on. Like, he is amazing. And then every so often, like Becky would go, Simon, just do a travers. And then Ben and Hannah would go, Jenny, what's a travers? Like, I loved it. But you didn't have to know what a travers was to just enjoy what you were doing. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I've got a small person just behind me. 1 second. What's the matter, darling? What? Come here. Come here. You can come here. What's going on? Oh, this is going to be a fun day. I have to commentate on a 5-star.
Exciting.
What's going on?
It's very exciting.
Okay, right. Well, we're going to have a small person on the pod. Anyway, right. This is Parenting 101.
Absolutely.
Right. Where were we? Simon being amazing. And then, Ben, you had to do... Your horses were very different on the second night. They were a very different energy. What was going on?
They were more switched on. They've always found that arena slightly spookier. Always found Bishop ever so slightly. I don't know why. Every time I've ever been there, they've always been a bit hotter. And I guess, how do I put this? It's rare for them to be worked 2 days in a row by a student.
Oh.
Do you know? Without me having a proper session in between. And because of how full on we were. So yeah, there were a few little gaps in training or things where you could see the boys were a bit more cheeky on the second night than on the first night. But I wasn't going to try and work them. Like, we were so tight, weren't we, when we finished late at Unicorn and then got up and then travelled to Bishop and then we were on again. So that's all that was going on with those two there. It was, and what the thing is, the moment we sent them in, I was like, oh, here we go. And I think
you partly, knew.
Yeah, partly I was like, oh, maybe I should have polished up a little bit before tonight, but too late, we're on.
And yeah, then also because... when were you supposed to do that?
Like, yeah, exactly.
No time to do that.
And then also, they're so used to performing in that arena. So they've been to Unicorn and stuff, but only to do demos, not to perform. And so because it got that bigger crowd, when we were backstage with them, I was like, oh, they think they're performing. They think they're going in to go. Just the difference in them. Because when they were backstage at Unicorn, they were asleep, like proper floppy bottom lip asleep. And then when we were at Bishop outside, their little ears were pricked and they were ready and they were like, gah.
Didn't help that I was doing the I say Jaeger, you say bomb with the crowd as you were about to come in.
Yeah, that probably let them know. But then also, I'm just so proud of those horses because really, really, with my knee and everything, with my knee and baby and life and winter, the last time I properly worked those two would have been like the 6th of December.
Wow, so for them to have,
yeah, so for them to have all that time off and then... and then come out and be brilliant. Speaking of babies, I think my baby just came back in. I can hear him shouting.
We've all got the kids. This is the kids session. Don't worry, she's used to the language, so we can still talk.
It's all right. Mine doesn't know the language yet.
You come see quickly.
Oh, look.
Oh, yay. Ah. Look, everyone's got their little people.
He's a whole 1 year old tomorrow.
Oh, is my his birthday tomorrow? Happy birthday, Wild. Yeah.
You're going to be a whole grown-up, aren't you? No, there's lots of wires here to play with, aren't there?
Yes.
Right. Come on, should we go and sit you upstairs with something? Darling, I need to do this, I'm afraid. I'm just going to go and put this one upstairs. Give me 2 seconds. Talk among yourselves.
Talk among yourselves.
Talk about just chat politely. But yeah, fucking was bonkers. I was driving to Unicorn. I just kept thinking I should have brought these into work sooner. I hope they're going to be as
well. So were you thinking that maybe they might not actually be that great for Hannah because they're not kind of...
But they always are. Like, if, say, say we are... I'm teaching a clinic at home and someone's dragged their partner along who's not into horses, but then their partner wants to have a go. They've never even held a horse. I know that at the end of the day, I can sling that person into the arena with Ollie and Romeo and still have a good time and they'll be really, really well behaved for them. Yeah. But then I did think, I was like, oh, have I sat? Especially, I preach so much about be prepared.
Yeah. Today.
The horse is never bad. You're just underprepared. And I was driving there thinking, this is the definition. But I think they were pretty perfect. And also, I think it actually worked out really well because if they were too perfect, then I wouldn't really have had anything to teach Hannah. And then it would have been
a bit, that is a bit true. Pointless. And were you pleased with the demo that you did before, Hannah?
Yeah, I was pleased. I was pleased. I was a little bit... ever since I did my knee, I've been a bit jaded at every demo I've done.
Yeah.
Because it's a bit like performing on 70%.
Yeah.
I can't really do what I'm meant to be doing. But it was so nice to just be back out. But on that note, I am definitely feeling better. So today I did my first proper long ridden session on horse today.
And how are you feeling now?
Absolutely brilliant.
Great.
Absolutely fine. Just carrying a schooling whip on my left-hand side because then if I need to back my left leg up a little bit because my left leg's obviously not got that same strength at the moment.
Yeah.
And was this, that,
did you, like, this rehab, did you actually, like, organise this, like, organise a kind of schedule with it with your doctor? Or did you do this yourself? This is when I'm going to do it, or...
Drive to hospital every 2 weeks, see my surgeon, see my physio, we assess everything, how it's all going, and then... they change things ever so slightly on the exercises and
But they were aware the whole way through that you wanted to be riding again, like ASAP.
Yeah. And this is one of the good things. I don't know how it would have been the other way, but I've just stayed private all the way through, stayed with Spire all the way through.
Yeah, okay.
And so I think that's been amazing because I have like the same physio person every time and like every 2 weeks, and we just have those progressions. And I think it's worth it. It's investing in your body, isn't it? If the horse needed physio, I'd pay for the person to get, you know, for the horse to have the proper physio.
Yeah, of course. And what's the, like, going forward, like, when's your next big performance? Like, you've got stuff booked in, haven't you? Do you need to be ready for it?
It'll ramp up. So I go on my own tour through March and April. Yeah. So I'll start, my first big gig is, I think it's in Devon. And that is, down in Devon at the Grange, March 21st. So we're doing the Grange in Devon, Kelsall Hill, Arena UK, Sneck up in Scotland, and Ingleston and Merrist Wood. So they're all through sort of March and April.
When's Arena UK?
But they're demos. Arena UK, Arena UK is April 18th.
Cool. Might try and come to that.
But that, yeah, if you want to come, let me know. I'll sort your tickets out. But that should be really fun because
someone who can sort tickets.
I'm taking four, at the moment, I'm taking four of my experienced horses and then just filling the lorry full of youngsters. So I'll be like showing how I get all my babies going and introducing them to stuff. So I'm really excited. Jenny, while you were away doing parent duties, we were chatting about the ponies that I trained Hannah with. And then I said that today I've done my first proper schooling, like long ridden schooling session since I had my leg.
Yay! Well done. How are you feeling? I thought you were in a good mood.
Yeah, I'm a very good mood. That and my mild concussion from my head wound from yesterday.
But a flesh wound.
I love the fact you stand on horses for a living and do all the stuff you do, and yet you had an argument with a soap dish.
In the shower. Yeah.
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 It's not ideal.
Hey, I'd rather it be this end and not have to be one of those people that's on, you know, 24 hours in A&E. I slipped in the shower and accidentally sat on the soap dish.
Wow, that was so our lovely photographer and his wife. Heidi, it's Heidi, isn't it? James's wife.
Oh, did she play the game with you with the x-rays?
She played the game. Well, we saw one of them. So can you put this into context for our listeners? Oh, God, I can't believe we're bringing this up.
So JSH Photography are the most incredible people. They do all my photography when I travel doing performances all around. They're really great friends of ours. They'll be at Wilde's birthday tomorrow. James has a grown-up job where he does something very technical, but he's also this phenomenal photographer. And his fiance Heidi does all his editing and stuff, but she is also a nurse. And she plays this game with us when we're away. I did not know she'd played this with you guys.
Yeah.
Where she has x-rays of things that people have had to come to get removed from their bottom in A&E. And the most traumatizing one, I think, must be the Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
So she basically showed us this x-ray because we had a post-tour KFC because we're classy. And I was like, play the game. And I didn't get it was Buzz Lightyear that quickly. But a few people are like, Buzz Lightyear.
But like straight away.
Yeah.
I mean, and unfortunately for the person,
the wings had deployed after insertion.
Yeah, he'd gone in head first and then deployed wings.
He had definitely gone to infinity, just not beyond.
I mean, that is bad.
Yeah, flared base, not flared entry point.
I've heard of people putting bottles up there and light bulbs, and they've shattered. While they're in there. I mean,
my favourite one...
that's a good idea?
My favourite one that I think... I'm sure it was Heidi that told me this one, that it could have been someone else, was a gentleman that arrived at A&E with... Do you know those bath chains that, like, hold the plug? And the bath chain was down his... I can't even, it makes me cringe just saying it. Down his gentleman's tool.
Oh, no.
His urethra.
Yeah. Oh.
Where was the plug?
Well, they detached the plug and posted the chain down the thing.
But that,
and when they said,
I mean, that's just
how
painful.
Did you... But when they said, how did this happen? They said, oh, I unplugged the bath and the suction made it happen.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Just own it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you should just own it. When something like that happens, just say, yep, you got just me.
If that happens to you, go to A&E in a ball gag with handcuffs on. Just lean into it.
Yeah.
I think.
She said that someone came in with a live hamster up their bum.
Oh, no. Did she tell you the dog one?
No.
The dog one where a man came in under a sheet with a big sheet and basically had tried to have relations with his dog and it had got stuck.
No so they had to get, way.
So they had to get a surgery team and a veterinary team to knock out man and dog and separate. And of course the police. Of course. And the police.
And the RSPCA.
All
and
of that.
Battersea Dogs Home. And
Jesus.
See, this is one of the reasons I think we should just take the warnings off bottles. Like bleach, don't drink it. Take that shit off.
Let them drink it.
Yeah. Like, don't jump off this cliff edge. Take that sign down. But
do you ever watch the Darwin Awards? Or have you heard of the Darwin Awards? Yeah.
Why have I
heard
of that?
Have you heard of this?
No, why have I?
It's basically when people get wiped out from the human race through pure idiocy.
Stupidity.
So they've done something really stupid, like, I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happened to me, to be fair, one day.
Like, yeah, people like blowing off their own nuts by trying to keep a loaded gun in their pocket or something. Or they've, like, yeah. How have we got here? How did we get here from, Heidi at KFC?
Yeah. So the Darwin Awards are evolutionary action awards. Darwin Awards honour those who tip chlorine into our gene pool by accidentally removing their DNA from it during a spectacular climax of a great idea gone very, very wrong. Do you want me to read one?
Yeah, go on.
Okay. Oh, wow. There's so many of them. Let me find a good one. 6 people drowned on Monday while trying to rescue a chicken that had fallen into a well in southern Egypt. An 18-year-old farmer was the first to descend into the 60-foot well. He drowned, apparently, by an undercurrent. Why would you try and rescue
that
a chicken?
That seems a bit dark, though. That didn't seem very funny.
No, that one didn't seem very funny. Wait there.
And 6 and 5 more people followed him down and died?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
So who's the Darwin Award for, the first one or the 5 that followed?
Did the chicken live? Just, you know, is the chicken all right?
Okay, I'll have to find some. Wait, you talk and I'll find one.
But
I heard that it did, to be fair.
Yeah, the chicken's fine. Absolutely. Freedom for chickens. Yeah, I'd say we had a wonderful time on tour.
It was great.
And hopefully everyone seems to have enjoyed it enough that we're going to do another one at some point.
We need to find out. We need to work out when we're going to do that, don't we?
All right, I've got one. So this was in 2006, an armed history lesson. England, Darren's death was a puzzle. The 33-year-old was found slumped in the hallway of his house, bleeding from stab wounds. Had an assailant attacked him? Police could find no supporting evidence. A year later, an inquest revealed why Darren can take his place among the stars of the Darwin Awards. Left alone in his house while his wife was on holiday, he decided to fork around and find out if his new jacket was stab-proof.
No!
Really?
And so stabbed himself through his own jacket?
Jesus.
I think the answer is no.
Don't do drugs, kids. Fucking hell.
People do such random stuff, don't they? It's a bit like that guy. Remember that TV presenter man? He was really good. He was on the one of the property programs, and he died from asphyxiating himself. Like, he put a plastic bag over his head in a sexual pleasure thing on his own, and he suffocated himself. Like, I mean,
imagine you've just got to be found like that.
Oh, well, yeah, exactly. That's not ideal, is it? And I mean, it's fine for him because he's gone, but like, family and stuff, it's not great, is it? But also, who tries those kinds of things? I mean, it must be really hot to do for some people, but I mean, I've just...
How do you find out?
Well, that's what
How do you
thinking.
Find out that that's your thing? Like, how do you... Like,
I know. I'm going to stick a plastic bag in my head. Amazing.
Oh, and I was swimming as a child and I had to hold my breath and it really did it for me. Like, what do you mean?
I mean, poor chap. Poor fuck? Chap. No one deserves that. But I was just thinking, Jesus, mate. You hear about that guy that he worked in a skyscraper in New York, and when everybody new came in, like, they had glass that didn't smash. So, like,
is a good one.
Have you heard this one, Ben?
Yeah, but so keep going.
So this guy, his little party trick was when somebody new came into the office, or he would run at the window and throw himself at it, and it wouldn't smash. And it really freaked people out every single time. Yeah. Anyway, this one time he was doing his little trick, and he ran up to the window and he threw himself into the window, and it came out of the frame, and just the whole window came out. And then he fell to his death. I mean, how horrendous is that? I mean, fucking stupid, to be fair. Like, why would you do that in a massive skyscraper? But anyway.
It's like some of the things you do see with people and horses. You're like, why would you do that?
Some of the things I see with people with horses do, and I think if I was doing that, I would be absolutely mullered. But it's not happening to you.
So what have you guys been doing since the tour? What's been going on? What's happening? I nearly said, dude, I'm the guy with the rep for being rude, terrorizing people wherever I go. Do you remember the Bartman? Everybody in the house do the Bartman. No? Nothing?
No.
No, so sorry, off. Mate.
Remember the Bartman?
No. I remember Mr. Gadget.
Diddly-diddly, Inspector Gadget. Yes! Do you remember Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Of course.
The rap to that. T-U-R-T-L-E power. T-U-R-T-L-E power.
I don't actually remember that bit.
Oh my God. I like the bit where it goes, heroes in a half shell, they're on a mission, something, something. They've got them wishing that they stayed at home instead of fighting these ninja masters with moves like lightning, Leonardo, Michelangelo, and Donatello. Make up the team with one other fellow, Raphael. He's the leader of the group, something, something, and pizza's the food. It's great.
Very good. Can you do Fresh Prince as well?
Oh, yeah. Everyone can do the Fresh Prince. Even Ben would be able to
do the Fresh Prince.
No.
What? This is a story all about how my life got flipped
upside down, and I'd like to take me just sit right there.
I'll tell you how I became a prince of a town called Bel-Air.
Oh, Bel-Air.
And my sister, sort of thing, I remember it vaguely. My sister used to watch it.
But you don't know that song? Everyone knows that song.
No.
I don't think everyone does now, Jenny, unfortunately.
I'm so old. You know,
we are getting a bit older.
If it makes you feel any better, my mate's 10-year-old son and his friends asked us at a birthday about us being born in the 1900s.
Oh, wow.
Sweet.
Yeah. I was sat next to a friend's brother at dinner, Freddie at dinner once, and he was in his early 20s, much younger than us, and like I was nearly 40. And he just turned around to me. I'm sorry, but the guy is very posh. He was like, oh, so when were you born? I was like, random question, but 1980. And he was like, oh my goodness, the Berlin Wall was like well up while you were alive. Okay, yes.
I remember it coming down.
In 1989. But I was like, what an odd thing to say to someone you've just met at dinner. The Berlin Wall was like well up. Thank you. Yes, thank you very much.
Well,
anyway,
I am talking of things that we've been doing since the tour. I've started my I decided, everybody, that I wanted to do something that was non-horsey, just for a bit of amusement and a bit of entertainment. And I decided that I would go back to college and do something fun, evening class to do. And I looked on the Leicester College website and saw what was there. And there was an acting and drama course, 7-week course, Monday evenings, 6 till 9. And I thought, sod it, why not? So I've got myself like a little, I've got some student ID, which I think means that I can get discounts on a few things, which is really cool.
Yeah. Yes, you need to come skiing in Whistler. You get a massive discount.
Oh, fantastic. Amazing. Anyway, so I felt like a right moron because I couldn't actually upload my photo without ringing them saying, I can't get it to do it. I can't do it. I feel so old. Anyway, so got there on the first night, had a really great time. Robin was the guy that was running it. He's really good, actually. Really good at like setting us all up. And the sessions, they're really like well-organized. Anyway, and there's really good structure to it. But anyway, so I was waiting with everybody outside. And there's a big mix of different people, which is one of the main reasons I wanted to go. Some like younger, it's obviously they're all adults because it's adult acting. But there was a big mix of people. Anyway, so we were queuing to go into the theatre, and this guy, Calvin, who, not bad looking lad, and we were walking in, and he's like, so, mate, have you done this kind of thing before? And I was like, yeah, I have, but, you know, not for a long, long time. And he's like, oh, like, so how long ago? And I was like, about 25 years. He's like, oh, mate, I wasn't even born then.
No.
I was like, fuck off, Calvin.
Yeah, fuck off, Calvin.
No, I'm joking. I was thinking that a little bit, but then I was also thinking he's a lovely lad, and it was really good fun. We had a really fun time.
That episode of Friends where you're being taught by Joey and he's doing smell the fart acting?
Yeah, it'd be that kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh my god, this is amazing.
The beginners.
Tell us what you learned.
What have I learned? About God, about myself, and about movement, and about we're playing lots of games, and improvisation. Like improvisation is like the kind of main thing. And then
I get so embarrassed.
It's not too bad. It's not too bad. And we did on the second one. On the first one, we had to do this game where you got given a piece of paper and it had questions on it, and you had to fill questions with somebody's name in the group, and like things like, do you know who Dame Judi Dench is? And if that person does, then you write their name down. And it was amazing how any of them didn't know who Dame Judi Dench is. Didn't know who she was. Yeah. And then one of the questions was, have you ever won anything? And I think I was the only person to say yes. So my name was on it that way. Anyway, so when we finished the game, they're like, right, so Simon, I was like, yep, that's me. Like, so you've won stuff. Like, what have you won? And I was like, horse events. And I don't know whether I was just being a little bit feeling inferior, but like I just felt like I was being seriously judged by everybody. They're like, oh,
yeah,
my
they
God.
All think you're a twat. Yeah.
It's the posh twat that rides horses.
Yeah.
But it's been fun. It's been really fun. We've got a few more to go, and we like do a performance on the last week and that kind of stuff. So it should be. It's really fun, and it was really good for me because on Monday got just gone because I had my doggy put to sleep on Monday, and then I went in. To do my course, and everyone was very nice, and it was fun. And although, honestly, it's just mad, isn't it, how stuff goes? But like, I literally, it just happened. I was like, I'm still going to go because I need to take my mind off stuff. And I went in, and we all stood in a circle. I was a little bit late, and everyone was standing in a circle. And they're like, right, so today we're going to be talking about improvisation. So I'm going to practice this now with you, Calvin, who stood next to him. He's like, so how's your week been? And then Calvin went, oh, not a great week for me. My dog died. And I was like, mine literally just died 2 hours ago. And then I obviously didn't say that. And then when we'd finished, I said to Calvin, oh, did your dog really die this week? He was like, no, I just thought. like, if you're having a really shit week, there would be something would happen. I was like, mine died like 2 hours ago. So yeah, life's so odd, isn't it?
There's so much to take in from this conversation. First of all, gorgeous girl. Gorgeous girl. You're obviously not all right.
I've been very sad. I've been very sad. She was a very important part of my life, and she would do stupid things like last night. James was just going out of the door, out the back door to go and do something outside, and he said something, and I was doing the washing up, and he said something, went out, he went out, and I was like, and I said something like, "Oh, gorgeous girl, what's Jim doing?" Because I used to talk to her all the time. And then I was like, "You're a fucking idiot. She's not here because she's dead." and that upset me. But yeah. And it was very odd because I'll tell you the story. A few days before she died, is that okay if I talk about this?
Yeah.
Of course
yeah, yeah.
It is.
A few days before she died, I had a dream. So my alarm went off and I hit snooze and I fell straight back to sleep again. And in that time, I had this dream where I was going to go and see, someone was looking after Twiggy, and I was going to go and see her, whether I was going to go and see her or to visit or pick her up. I'm not quite sure, but anyway. And I went on this, around the M25, around this really busy roundabout, and then took this little lane off and then went down onto the coast. And all of a sudden it was this beautiful white sandy beach. And I pulled up next to this apartment. Beautiful, and the sun was shining and it was beautiful, and then Jean was looking after him, and Jean I rode for about 15 years ago. She was bonkers and hilariously funny and loved her animals, and she was she owned the first horse that ever won an event on. She drove up to the Lake District with this 4-year-old horse in her trailer, and then I met her there and we got absolutely wasted in the pub drinking wine because she loved wine. And then the horse won the next day and she celebrated all the way home with champagne driving her trailer, which obviously we don't think that's a good idea, everyone. But anyway, that's the kind of thing that Jean would do. Anyway, Jean died about 10 years ago of a brain tumour. And then Twiggy then came out of this apartment, and she was so pleased to see me, and she was bouncing around, and she was 10 years younger, and she looked amazing, and she was bright-eyed, and by the end, she was blind and deaf and really didn't understand what was going on. And she looked amazing. And then, I knelt down and I gave her a cuddle, and then I woke up. And I kind of just hope that's her now, you know? I think maybe it's my subconscious telling me that she's going to be okay, or maybe it's those whatever it is the reason that we're here telling me that she's going to be okay. Anyway, sorry, I've kind of gone on off on one,
no.
But yeah,
don't apologize.
You're sorry.
Don't apologize, you loon.
But yeah, she was a very important little thing, and I will miss her a lot. I already do. But yeah. Sad times.
But equally,
I feel so incredibly blessed to have had her in my life. And anyone can say, I know you guys wouldn't, but anyone can say she was just a dog. But actually, when you've had a dog like that, you kind of realize how incredibly special they are. She knew everything, literally everything. I mean, if she could talk, some of the stories she would say about me.
she would tell them all as well. She would be behind your back. She would let us know.
Oh, she would. Oh, she absolutely. Oh my gosh. Yeah, she was definitely her own woman. It wasn't like she was. Yeah. She was awesome. She was really cool. So.
But she's also been part of your journey for so many of your stories. I remember when you, if you had a bad run at badminton, you were like, "Well, I was walking Twiggy, and my mum came over."
Yeah.
Or,
when we did. Yeah, when I did badminton in 2019, and it didn't go very well, and I came back to the stables, and I was like, fucking hell, I'm so shit at this, and I was riding like an absolute pussy, and I just rode so badly, and I'm crap at this, and I've gone to all this trouble to do it, and then I rode like an idiot, and life's rubbish, and then I went back to the lorry, and gorgeous girl was in there waiting, and she's like, hello, and she's like, I want to go for a walk, So I was like, okay, well, let's go for a walk. So I was in all my riding, in my cross-country gear and walking around. There's a, where the lorry park used to be at Babington, there, like, there was a cricket pitch in the middle of the village. And we went for a walk around the cricket pitch and she was bouncing around and bounding around and like so happy to see me and so like into everything and having such a lovely time. I was like, oh, do you know what? Life's not that bad. Life's actually really fucking good. Yeah. Especially when you've got someone like, or just get in it. And yeah. And now she's not here. Anyway. Yeah, I will miss her. But yeah, like I say, I feel very, very lucky to have had her in my life.
Yeah, you're very good at saying that, though. When obviously my horse died not that long ago, you were like, how lucky are we to have them? But when you're in the moment, that's not like, it doesn't really help. You're like, I just want them back.
No, absolutely. And like, you know, I mean, I don't know whether anyone will think I'm awful, but I did have her put to sleep because she was deaf and she was blind and she was really not able to kind of, she didn't really know much about what was going on. She'd sense me and she was always quite happy when she sensed me, but she also like, she couldn't keep food down. I just was like, right, that's it. And my really good friend, came and did it here and it was so peaceful and she just fell asleep. But fucking hell, it's hard doing that. So hard doing that.
It's really hard, but it's such an important conversation. Like, it's so important that it's really good that you've brought this up because there comes a tipping point with elderly animals where your love becomes cruel, not kindness.
100%.
Do you know, there's, my dad's very good. You guys met my dad. He's lovely. Everyone loves him. But he's very good at taking people aside and having that conversation about old horses and being like, you're doing this for you now.
Yeah.
This isn't in the animal's best interest. And that's, it's, in our family, we always say, if you really love an animal, it's the last good thing you can do for them.
Yeah. Well, because I just think, like, with how things were going, like, she was really, like, I mean, this, like, now I'm talking about, it's really good to talk about that, actually. So thank you. But, like, you know, deaf, blind, not sure about what was going on much around her. She was really stiff. She was quite sore. She couldn't keep food down. And I was kind of thinking, you know, I couldn't bear the thought of her falling down the stairs or something really awful happening. Or having some sort of organ failure. So she has a really long, slow kind of like...
And you not being there as well, you being out of the house.
Yeah.
Like at least the way you did it, she was with
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Like I literally scooped... Well, I came back home. I lit the fire. I put her in a bed by the fire. We kind of had a little cuddle like in by the fire just like for like an hour before it happened. And then I just scooped her up. And I sat in the windowsill and my friend did it amazingly. And she just fell asleep. And I'd like to think it was nice for her. Well, no, it was. It was very peaceful. So,
if I was going to go, I'd like to go in your arms, Simon.
Oh, you're very sweet. But yeah, it's good. I'm doing better because I've been able to kind of talk about it without bawling my eyes out. So that's good. Thank you.
You're doing amazingly because it is such a big thing.
Oh, like literally for the last 16 years, she has been everywhere with me. Literally, she's done everything with me. And if she's not been with me, then she's always been excited to see me when I got back, and I've told her all about it. So,
yeah.
Well, I know, and that is
anyway.
Like...
Sorry if that's made anybody feel sad, but yeah, it is sad.
No, and it just shows if you are feeling sad, talking about things help. So find someone to talk to and go and
Absolutely.
Talk about it. Well, you're doing very well and sending lots of love. It's very hard when you've got someone going through stuff. And I was like, should I ring you? Should I not ring you? Do you want to talk? Will that make it worse? Like, it's so much nicer when you can just see someone in person and just give them a hug, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
But I was telling
somebody the story about... Jean looking after it, looking after her and stuff. Oh my God, that really like got me.
Yeah.
And it will like catch you as well, like in funny moments as well. Like
oh God, yeah. Like it feels so stupid because she's a dog, but like, it's like with people, like, a song will come up on the radio which reminds me of her. Gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not stupid. We love these animals like we love people. We just don't get to have them for as long.
Yeah, I absolutely adored that dog. And she adored me.
The fantastic Winston Churchill quote, life's greatest tragedy is that we must outlive so many wonderful dogs and horses.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're still looking after, when my gran and granddad passed away, because they went with that within a week, their dog was left and everyone was like, what are you going to do with their little old dog? So he's come to live with us and he's getting a bit to that age where he can still see and hear, but he can no longer control his bladder. And everyone was saying, oh, should you, do you know, if he can't control? I was like, no, we need to redecorate anyway. So I'll just wait to replace the carpets downstairs.
It is true, though, because Twiggy was exactly the same. And like, I was like, I'm not bothered about that. Like, quite happy to clear up after her as much as is necessary.
But yeah, doesn't
it's other things.
Yeah, as long as they're happy, it's different, isn't it? Fidget don't give a crap if he pees in the dining room.
Quality of life, isn't it? And like, if the good days outweigh the bad days, then that's okay. It's when that kind of balance is lost. My vet friend said, you know, we're now at the stage, Simon, where it's only going to get worse. So, you know, this is not going to get better anymore. And, oh, dear. Anyway, sorry. I will stop talking
when
about it.
When Maverick goes, I want to have him stuffed and put on wheels. In kind of like the ball catching
position. I was talking to a friend about it and I was getting quite upset about it. And I said something like, oh, I'm just off to... Oh, I can't remember what I was saying. They were like, I thought you were just saying you're off to the taxidermist, which wouldn't surprise me with you and that dog. It's like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
We were looking around stately homes with a film crew once we were doing some stuff on Downton Abbey. And one of the stately homes they took us to, they had all the dogs that they'd ever had stuffed in the house.
Whoa. Really?
And so, like, they had three Labradors that were like together, laid down as if they were all asleep, that were a draft excluder.
That's creepy.
They had a terrier that was on its hind legs, like begging with its mouth open, and it was the TV remote fucking holder. It was the
God.
It's funny, but at the same time, I was like, it's funny because it's not my dog. Like, if it was my dog, I'd be traumatized by that, actually, yeah. I think.
I don't see it. I don't see that.
Do you know who Lord Beaverbrook is or was? He was quite famous. He very rich, lots of money, gentry, was very influential with Winston Churchill, had a big house called the Beaverbrook Estate. I think he owns a newspaper or something. Anyway, very famous guy back in Churchill's day. And he owns a big estate in Surrey. And randomly, I used to live, obviously he was dead by this point, but and his estate kind of went to rack and ruin. And but I used to live in the stable block. They turned a couple of the old stables into not actually that very nice apartments. And I was investigating around this stable block one day around the back, and I found his dog graveyard hidden, like overgrown in the woods. And it was so cute. He'd made like loads of little mini headstones for all his dogs. And it said things like Alfie, friend of human, foe to bird, and things like that. And he'd like written like little things about each of the dogs, like what, Teddy never left my side or whatever. And it was so cute. It was like a bit weird when I first found it, but I was like, imagine being that rich then having all your land that you could like have a little cemetery for your animals with proper headstones. Oh. It was very cute. Very bit spooky to find behind your house, but it was very cute.
Very cute. I visited a yard in France once and it was a posh yard, and they had a chapel that they'd built on site, and it had pictures of all the horses that had died in it. And they called it, all these pictures, they called it their Wall of Heroes. And so, like, pictures of each horse in its prime doing what it did best in the chapel so that you could go and, like, remember them. I thought that was really
cool. That's really cool.
Really sweet. Really nice.
Imagine they did that with people. Instead of, like, the things written on the tombstone, it's a picture of what you do best. So it'd be Simon jumping across country fence, you standing on a horse, me with a microphone, odd pictures instead. That'd be quite cool to look around.
That would be cool.
I fully intend to squander any wealth I have left, not leaving it in inheritance. I intend to have a great big, like, statue of me standing on a horse with no tack on it. 100%.
Yeah, I've always said that. If I die, I want a massive funeral. I want sobbing, wailing. I want everyone I know, even if you've only met me once, you can come to my funeral. I want people to wear, like, the black things where they have it over their faces. I want the whole shebang. Like, huge.
We had a livery once who told my dad, he was a very odd little old man when we had a livery yard. And when he was getting older and, you know, didn't have long for this world left, he called my dad to his house and said, "Mark, I just want you to know, I don't want you at my funeral. And if you turn up, I'm going to haunt you." So obviously, knowing my dad, when Frank died and they buried him, Mum was like, "His funeral's on Saturday. Are you going?" Dad was like, "Absolutely not. He's going to haunt me for the rest of my life if I bloody go."
That is amazing. Yeah. Oh, that's like just when you get old, you just can start annoying people. I will wear purple and annoy people. It's a good famous poem.
With a red hat that doesn't go.
Yeah.
I will wear purple and learn to spit.
It's such Hammers! A Do you know that poem, Simon?
No.
Oh my God, it's so good. Is it Philip Larkin?
It's Pamers, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
I don't know. I had it in a Pamers poetry book because my grandma used to read me it.
Here we go. "When I'm old, I shall wear purple with a red hat, which doesn't go and doesn't suit me. And I shall spend my pension on brandy and summer gloves and satin sandals and say we've no money for butter." I love that poem. It's such a good poem.
It's absolutely fantastic.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm going to be like. Oh, it's by Jenny Joseph. Oh. There we go.
So, Jenny, what have you been up to since tour?
What have I not been up to?
You've been having a wild time.
I know. So I had a big weekend with some friends that we do every year. Lovely Kate Tarrant, who came on the tour. She was amazing. She drove like me everywhere. It was basically like my comfort blanket for the whole tour when I was like, got so much to do and organize. And Kate was amazing. Everyone needs a Kate in their lives. Like one of those people who's just like quiet and watches and sits in the background but is there when you need them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then what have I done? Oh, yeah. And then just basically raced around London. And then we went to London. We were tourists for the day with the kids, like did Buckingham Palace.
It needed to be done, didn't it, for the kids?
Oh, it was so much fun. I don't know if anyone, like, I lived in London for years. I did like 6 years. I think we're very good at not appreciating what's around us until we leave something. You know what I mean? Like the grass is always greener, but you still have to mow the lawn. So it was nice just to go to London without any other reason but to be a tourist and be like unashamedly touristy, like taking photos with the guys on the horses and Buckingham Palace, like taking ridiculous amounts of photos and wandering around James's Park and eating ice cream. And then we went to see Wicked, which was very good. So yes, we were very, very touristy. Oh, that was amazing. Yeah, it was amazing. It was very, very good. And went to Hamleys with the kids, which, why do they not have a bar in Hamleys?
Yeah.
I really don't understand why they don't do like a service where you can sit at the bar and they take your kids off you for an hour. And then come back with a selection of things that they might like. People would spend so much more money. Like,
I would leave immediately. If I've ever walked into a shop while shopping with someone else and they take that person off shopping and offer me alcohol, that tells me that we're going to spend a lot of money. I'd be like, no, thank you. We're leaving. No. If you think I'm going to be paying for this and I need to be drunk to pay for this, no, we can move on.
But you know the horses that stand either side of St. James's and the people sit on them and you're not allowed to touch them because they bite you. What are they called?
They're the Household Cav or the
Household Cavalry. Thank you very much. So anyway, I had a friend who used to be in the Household Cavalry and he always used to love telling me when we were kids about, like it was one of my parents' friends, about one of the horses. So you know they have to stand there for hours with someone on their back, basically, and then they do a changeover. So this horse apparently used to save his food and his mouth. And then once he was in position with all the public looking at him, he used to let it drop out of his mouth. And of course, what's going to then come over? Pigeons. And this horse used to wait for a pigeon to be close enough, eating his food, and then be like, bang, and slam it with his hoof and kill pigeons in front of tourists.
Kill it. Oh my God.
It was like this horse's hobby and they couldn't stop it, nor did they really want to stop it because it was so funny and used to terrify tourists.
That's amazing.
It was so good. I was like, that is a clever horse.
As if he did that.
I know, amazing. And then one horse, because there's a box around them, it's like, do not come close, they will bite. And you can see everyone just pushing their luck, like getting closer and closer. I'm like, that horse is going to bite you. That is an angry horse. One of them didn't care. One of them was like, just fuck off. So yeah, obviously we got the pictures and yeah, just touristy.
Are those ones where I've seen a few videos recently where, you're not allowed to touch it, but people like, and I've seen you like have a tourist that goes over and then they hold the horse's rein and then the guy goes, do not touch the reins.
Yeah. They scream at them. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. And then, and it's amazing how these people just completely ignore them as well.
And keep holding the reins. It's like, what were you hoping to achieve by holding someone? Can you imagine you're cantering, going up to the start box at badminton and someone just kind of grabbed your reins?
Yeah. No, it's not ideal. What about you, Ben?
What have we been doing? It's been chaos here. We had 14 horses going on a film job, and it was a modern film job, and the horses had to look posh, and none of our horses ever look posh. So we had 14 to clip and pull manes and pull tails and to make them go from sort of shaggy medieval war horses into sleek modern horses. So that has been a bit of a monster job. That's taken up most of it, really, riding that lot, getting them clipped and stuffed, and me and George juggling baby life. I got left dadding on my own for the first time. George went filming and left me at home in charge of the baby, and he's alive and was happy throughout.
Results.
So I was pleased with myself there. And then, I turned, because my leg's been bad, I turned my main crew of horses, so about 15 of them, I turned them away after our last gig, which was December 6th. And they've just been out in the field completely from until yesterday. And then so brought those boys up yesterday and have started working them. And now, so that's what I'm on with now. Fully ramping up and prepping for the season. My bodies and my leg and stuff are starting to feel better and just sort of working towards getting ready for show season, which is really, really good fun. And of course, Wild's birthday and his... Oh, can I give a shout out? Because I think it's just arrived. I have ordered Baby Wild an Inky Dinky saddle.
Oh wow. They're cool.
And yeah, I just want to give them a shout out because when they saw, I ordered it for Wild because I've seen people use them with kids and they're great. And I ordered it and ordered like the cheap one. And then they reached out and said, oh, we think you're really cool. We'll give him the posh one. So thank you, Inky Dinky.
That's so nice.
So it also really made me laugh because obviously I know it's with us and everything, but it merely made me smile because I was like, oh, there you are, boy. Not even one yet. Got your first sponsorship deal. Sponsored saddle. Here we go. Not even 11 months old. Sponsored saddle. This is it. This is setting the tone.
What make is it?
So, yeah.
Inky Dinky. It is called an Inky Dinky. It's like its own brand.
Inky Dinky. They're so cool. And then tomorrow, we're all going to my mum and dad's house, which was my grandma and granddad's house, which is be really exciting because it's going to be like the first big event there with mum and dad as gran and granddad.
Aww.
Like, do you know? So we're going over for a party. If the weather holds out, we're going to drag all the Shetland ponies and stuff to mum and dad's because all our friends are bringing their kids and stuff. And we'll just have a bit of fun and a bit of, yeah. So it's
really
been very,
cool.
Very lovely.
Oh, very wholesome, wholesome content. Very unlike our podcast.
Yeah.
Right, boys, we have been going for an hour and 20, although some of that was me trying to manage my children. Who wants to go first with what's annoyed you this week?
I've got one.
Okay,
you start, Simon.
Go Simon.
So obviously, like animals dying has annoyed me, but that's, we've talked about that in detail. So I find it really annoying. Like, I've got this young horse in, and he's really cute. And he's going really nicely, a five-year-old. And his owner came to watch him today, actually. And having been in the school all morning, riding all these other horses, and, like, it very little going on, as soon as the owner arrives and I go to go and ride it to show the owner how brilliantly it's going at the time, Eugene suddenly turns up, who's our peacock, and starts like fanning around with his feathers, and the horse hasn't actually seen him yet because he hasn't been coming to the school at all recently. He turns up. Then Guthrie, his horse, it's an older horse, so it should know better, but he's quite fresh because he's only really just come back into work. That starts being a Larry Watson in the school as well, and like flying around all over the place. Then Granny comes along and starts like walking her little Bichon Frise type dog up the driveway, which is obviously really, really spooky and scary, and she's in a really long mac. And I'm like, where's everyone come from? Why is it? When I really want this, like, it to be nice and quiet so I can show this lady how brilliant her horse is going, everything starts to have to go, like, everyone suddenly has to turn up. Do you guys ever get that?
And how did the horse go? First?
He was brilliantly. He was really good. Like, he was slightly obsessed with the mac that the Granny was wearing. He was like, whoa, what the hell's that? And I was like, whoop, you're going to be good. And obviously Eugene, he didn't really want to go anywhere near Eugene. And he had a little bit of a bucky about that. But like, he was fine. But yeah, I just like, it's like sod's law, isn't it? Like, everyone just suddenly turns up when you don't want them to. Like, they could have done that all morning. Or any other day when I was riding that horse, but the owner's not there.
I know exactly what you mean. I had this today. I got one of my, he's like 3.5, 4 years old, got this youngster out to work it, thought I'll go in the indoor, it's at the back of the yard, really quiet. And then my dad had asked my mate James, who works for us on the farm, if he could take the teleporter and use it to scrape the back, lift the muck heap. And scrape the back with the fork. So I just did about 5 minutes with this youngster and then was like, no, I give up. I think it's even worse on our yard. It's normally my dad. Like, you'll be getting on to ride something that's a bit leery and then he'll come and start strimming down the edge of the arena.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh. But then this is why my horses are so quiet when we go away.
Yeah, it's all good. Like, because poor old Guthrie was like, I'm so sorry about that. You know, and I was like, it's absolutely fine. It's really good for the horse. So it's not a problem. It's just not that great for my blood pressure.
Yeah.
Just taking a quick pause in the pod to tell you about the Ligon Arms. If you ride, hunt, walk dogs until your boots are muddy, or believe the best conversations happen by a fire after a day outdoors, well, this one's for you. Nestled in the heart of Broadway at the very gateway to the Cotswolds, the Ligon Arms has been welcoming travellers, riders and country folk for over 600 years. A historic coaching inn steeped in stories, this is a place that understands the rhythm of rural life. After a day in the saddle, a frosty dog walk or a day exploring the rolling Cotswold hills and attractions, there's nowhere better to settle in. Think roaring fires, proper food, dogs made welcome and fabulous hospitality. So we got to stay there for our live podcast event and had the most fabulous time and were treated like royalty. So if you're looking to escape to the countryside or simply looking for somewhere that feels like home after a day outdoors, we can highly recommend the Ligon Arms in Broadway.
I got told off last night because I was reading Pinocchio to Wilde and George told me off for giving Geppetto and Pinocchio northern accents.
There is nothing wrong with
Geppetto's accent.
I think Northern's really sexy.
Geppetto's accent were like this. He was chatting away. I wish I had a real son, he said to the blue fairy.
And then Pinocchio's voice was like this, because I just thought he's going to be dead small and annoying. Dad, why can't I do that? Jiminy Cricket, where are we going?
Sounds like Antor Deck.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Got really cross at me. She kept coming in being like, you're doing a terrible job. I was like, no, Wilde's loving it. And I'm also loving it because it's given me so much. I gave Jiminy Cricket the deepest voice that I could think of for Jiminy Cricket because he's small and it made me laugh. Yeah,
I have to say, I've always thought Jiminy Cricket would be quite camp.
Well, I just thought because Jiminy Cricket and Pinocchio are like a double act. So if you've got Pinocchio, who's like,
I don't know what to get Geppetto for Christmas. I'm going to make a wish on the Blue Fairy.
And then you've got, you know, Jiminy Cricket.
But yeah. Jiminy Cricket was really quite camp in the film, wasn't he?
Was he?
Oh, I don't think anyone in a Disney film is not camp. Gaston is
oh
the
my God.
Biggest gay icon.
Yes,
isn't he? Like, he didn't actually want Belle. He was quite relieved when Belle went off with the Beast. He was like, oh,
he was actually after
that
the
up
Beast.
Anymore.
Yeah. No one fight like Gaston. No one's quite like Gaston.
Oh, and that was the, who's that little guy? The little guy that really fancied him.
I know exactly.
Gaston's mate. What was
Javier.
His name? Was it Javier?
Is it Javier or something?
He's French, not Spanish.
Is that not... Oh, Gaston's friend.
Gaston's sidekick.
Yeah. Le Fou, I had to receive you this way. Right.
Before I forget, before we ask Jenny what's annoyed her this week, last night me and George were watching Bridgerton.
Is it the new series?
Yeah. Simon... I think looks, and I hope you're not offended by this, the lead male, the second brother, which Bridgerton is he? In this season. Benedict, is it?
Okay.
I was like, there's a Simon vibe to this guy.
Really?
As he was being all sexy in his V'd open shirt, in his in a masquerade ball.
No.
Oh, can't see that.
Is that the one? It's not the best picture. You'd find one of him looking a bit more sexy and dishevelled.
Oh, sorry.
But anyway, especially at the masquerade ball, I thought, oh, just Simon that there.
So loads of people have sent us messages about various things we should be getting on our high horses about. But I'm so tired. I think because I've just been so busy the last few months, I've turned into Simon. And I haven't got the, like, capacity to go through what's going on in the horse world right now. But I do see the messages. We will get on a rant.
Is there stuff going on in the horse world at the moment?
Yeah, apparently some new laws are coming out again and things. And, yeah, so
there's more stuff about
laws or rules?
Whip rules.
Rules. Whip rules coming out. And then we've never actually discussed the FEI changing their blood rules. As well. So we need to talk about that.
That's the next pod then, by the sound.
No, the next pod, we are recording with Dr. Louise Newson, the very famous menopause doctor, like the goddess. She is so famous that my menopause doctor, I told her, she was like, I don't listen to podcasts, but I need to hear that podcast when you've recorded it. So we're recording with her next week. So we have to bring our grown-up heads on.
It just makes me laugh so much. It's literally like we have got perimenopause royalty coming in, chatting to us on our podcast. And there's you, Jenny, who obviously like massively, that's perfect. That's absolutely ideal. And then there's me and Ben.
Well, Simon, we did well.
We
I
did
know you did most of
well.
It. I joined you for the end. But when you and I talked about menopause at Your Horse Live, I think we did well.
I think we did brilliantly.
Without vaginas. Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure you don't have a vagina, Ben. Jury's still out. No, I think it's important you're there because I think men tend to go, oh, I don't listen to that. And I think having you guys there to advocate, because you guys teach women and you are married to a woman.
I mean, I think it's fascinating,
parents,
to be fair.
Yeah. I did love the fact that on the tour, I was having a very low moment. And then Ben was like, you're right. I was like, I just need to change my patch. And I love the fact that I could just be that open with you guys. Ben was like, yeah, you should go do that.
Well, it is. It really is important. Like, I know that I listened. It's weird. Like, I listened to a podcast on a fitness thing that was about menopause. And that was actually the catalyst. I sent that to my mum. And that's what's got my mum's life a lot better through getting the treatment that she needed. And it's so dangerous. It's one of the highest leading, I'm sure this is correct, it's one of the leading causes of female suicide is depression 100%. Caused through menopause.
And I totally get that. When my doctor rang me the other day, she said, have you seen any improvements since you've been on the progesterone and the estrogen? And I said, I've gone 2 months now without having a day where I genuinely want to kill myself. So I'm taking that as a win. And those are the things you have to look out for. Like, because day to day, I'm still tired and still lots of other things. But I'm like, I don't get the odd day a month now where I genuinely want to drive my car and off the cliff. Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, whew. And if I can like, but so, and women obviously have it worse. And so, yeah, I can absolutely understand that it'd be the leading cause of suicide. God, we've taken a depressing turn at the end of the podcast, haven't we? But yes, so we will talk all things. And I always said that we want to try and find answers on this podcast. I didn't think I'd be having answers to my hormone problems, but it's a problem that face all these women, and we have a massive listenership. So let's just roll with it and do good with the podcast. I'm so tired. I now think I have a sick child, so I've got to go and do that. And then I have to commentate on a 5-star Grand Prix in the Desert Hawk Park. So I'm going to have to go. And I can hear a child crying. And it's
not crying.
Mine.
He's growling.
Oh.
He growls at the dog.
Oh, okay. Right.
I taught him to. It's okay. Hilarious.
Did you clicker train him to do it?
No, I'm not allowed to clicker train him. I asked if I could. I'm not allowed.
There is a video I have to send you about a woman who clicker trained her daughter.
Yeah, I reckon I could. A pocket full of Haribos in a clicker.
Yeah.
Oh. Wild, give poor. Right.
Well, you could just teach him to speak English. That you could do as well.
He's doing that really well. Bless him. Right, you go and juggle your child and your career and, yeah.
Well, and you too. You obviously not, well, I don't know what you're going to do. It's late there.
I'm going to go buy balloons for a birthday party.
Yeah, have a lovely time at the party.
Thank you very much.
Send us some pictures. Congratulations, you made it through a year party. Simi, any final thoughts?
Can't
see your face anymore.
No real final thoughts other than don't work too hard, Jenny, and Ben, enjoy your party. I am going to go and look. I've advertised for a new member of staff and I've had over 40 applicants. So I need to go through them all and reply to everyone.
I was going to say, you're brave putting that on social media. Because you've got quite the following. I did see you advertising for staff and I was like, oh, people are just going to look for an excuse just to come and meet you. You know that.
No, to be fair, some really good applicants. So yeah, I need to go through it all properly.
Do you want to know Tim Stockdale's trick when you're doing a job interview?
Well, go on.
To finish. So Tim Stockdale, God love him. What an amazing man he was. He said to me, Jenny, when you're interviewing people, do it whilst tacking up. And I was like, okay. And he's like, then go or untacking or something. Okay. And he's like, go and do bandages. And have a horse ready with bandages. Yeah. So, and he's like, start unbandaging and throw them behind you. And if they pick them up and start rolling them up for you, you know they're good without being asked.
Yes. Good shout.
Yeah. Because isn't it the worst job, rolling bandages? So if you throw them off the horse's leg behind you and while you're chatting and they pick them up and start rolling them, you know they're good.
I quite like rolling bandages.
I like mucking out. It's controversial. Yeah. Yes. But yes. I thought, isn't that a good way to tell if someone's just proactive? Because my one rule, never walk anywhere not carrying something.
When we have people come for like a job interview here, I'll send them off to tack something up that I know is a bit dodgy to tack up, and they've got to get past that first hurdle first.
Wow, that's mean.
Mean?
Well, because either you're ready, you're here for the job, or you're not. Like, I'm not saying it's nasty, but you know, a bit tricky to get the bridle on, a bit if you lead it out tacked up, then we've passed the first hurdle. If not,
Simon, I'm sending you the biggest hug and love and cuddles.
Oh, thank you.
And I hope the acting goes well. Benji, I'm sending you all the hugs and loves and cuddles as well, just because he's in such a good mood today. We should record earlier on. And I now have to go. So please, guys, keep an eye out because we are going to be sharing the tour, the Bishop Burton night. And I'm sorry, but we have to ask you to pay for it. I think it'll be like £6 or something because the camera crew need paying. And that's going to pay them. So we're not just trying to make money off people. We need to pay bills. But please look out for that and watch it and let us know what you think. And Becky Moody's already messaging about doing another tour. So she's in.
Fantastic.
Right. Who's going to sing us out?
I'm on the job today, so I'm not doing it now.
Ride, ride, ride.
Simon's audio's gone. Oh.
Shut up and ride. Go on,
Teddy. Shut up and ride.
Go run your
Shut
event.
Shut up and ride.